And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Good Guy, Bad Guy. Each of my guests is discussing qualities of a good or a bad person. My next guest is an award-winning journalist and scholar who brings to life the story of Erik Jan Hanussen, a popular Jewish stage magician and mentalist from Austria, who became very popular in Berlin and actually rubbed elbows with high-ranking Nazi officials, even Adolf Hitler. We'll discuss his book, The Nazi Seance. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Arthur Magida is a writer in residence at the University of Baltimore, a journalism professor at Georgetown University, and the recipient of multiple awards in journalism and the humanities. His books include The Rabbi and the Hitman, Prophet of Rage, A Life of Louis Farrakhan and His Nation, Opening the Doors of Wonder, and How to Be a Perfect Stranger. Arthur lives and works in Baltimore, Maryland, joining us from Baltimore. How are you today, Arthur?
I'm fine, Bill. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest. Your book is a fascinating corner of history that hasn't been really visited at all, and I'm glad that you told the story. Tell us a little bit about this mentalist, Erik Jan Hanussen. How did you first discover him? What fascinated you to write about him?
Yeah, I discovered him, as I do too many things, completely accidentally. I had purchased a book called The Rise of the Indian Rope Trick, which is about a very classic trick that's done, obviously, in India. I was reading it about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's full of all kinds of ideas about how the rope trick is done. Somewhere in the middle of the book, I came across 2 paragraphs with the ideas about how the trick was done. These came from a man I never heard of before, a fellow named Erik Jan Hanussen. That was interesting. What was more interesting was that the author of the book, a guy named Peter Lamont, who's from Scotland, identified Hanussen as Hitler's Jewish clairvoyant. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was no longer asleep. I woke up totally. That's how I discovered Hanussen. And in that very moment, I was resolved to do a book about this guy.
Wow. All right, well, tell us a little bit about him, because he has a fascinating life. I'll let you give us the details of that, but he really had a fascinating life and ultimately his death, too. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, he came from Austria. He was Jewish. His original name was Hermann Steinschneider. It was certainly not Erik Jan Hanussen, which sounds rather regal and rather Danish, and for a while he did claim that he came from royalty and from Denmark, not from impoverished Jewish parents in Vienna. He ran away from home when he was in his early teens. He bounced around circus to circus, vaudeville gig. Along the way, he learned how to, quote, read minds, which in the magic trade is actually called muscle reading. And thankfully, nobody can read our minds. I'm glad people are listening to us, but none of them, I assure you, as we're speaking. And as the years went by, he became more and more famous. He got more and more wealthy. He had quite a fortune. 1929, 1930, there was a major trial in Czechoslovakia. He was charged with fraud. And some days the trial would go quite well for him. People would say he was able to decipher all kinds of illnesses and diagnose fates, and other days the trial went quite bad for him. In fact, there's one story in the book of a baker going to him saying he had lost his watch. He asked Hanussen, how can he find his beloved watch? This was an heirloom. Hanussen says, well, maybe the best thing to do is to place an ad in the lost and found section of the local paper. I could have given that advice, and I too would have charged 100 kronen. Hanussen was acquitted in that trial. He immediately moved to Berlin, where he had always wanted to be. To him, this was the city of his dreams. Berlin at that point was certainly a city of great artistic intellectual ferment. A lot of artists and writers were flocking there. It was also a city that was completely disintegrating and crumbling. Great poverty. Teenage girls were prostituting themselves after school with their parents' permission. audiences, because no mentalist can perform when people are heckling him, he became very good friends with a man named Count Heldorf, who was the head of the stormtroopers in Berlin. Heldorf was always in debt. Honnesen was always around to bail him out. Heldorf also provided security for him, both in the theaters and on the streets. Nobody would touch Erich Jan Honnesen. That's how he became associated with the Nazis.
All right. Now, he was Austrian originally. Did he know Adolf Hitler at all while he was living and working in Austria?
No. In Austria itself, both of them were on very different paths. But in Berlin, the closer he got to Heldorf, in effect, the closer he got to Hitler. And by the end of 1932, the socialist and the communist newspapers in Berlin had been waging campaigns against Honnesen. They saw him as one of the weak spots in the Nazi structure. And of course, Marxists are always opposed to religion. They saw this man, Honnesen, basically as peddling superstition and a version of faith, which they were opposed to. They figured, you do away with Honnesen, another weak link in the Nazi panoply is dissolved. So, late 32, Honnesen is conferring with Hitler in the Kaiserhof Hotel, which is where the Führer had set up his headquarters in the city of Berlin. But also that month, the left-wing newspapers expose Honnesen as a Jew. And that is really the beginning of the end of this man.
Well, without a doubt, my guest is Albert Majida, and we're talking about his book, The Nazi Seance, The Strange Story of the Jewish Psychic in Hitler's Circle. All of this, Arthur, begs the question, though, what was the Nazi fascination with the occult? I mean, all of us know the movie Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that sort of portrays Nazi leaders as seeking to have any kind of an advantage, natural or supernatural. How close was that to the truth, the real thinking in the Nazi hierarchy at that time?
Well, Steven Spielberg took great liberties with truth and reality. In my book, Nazi Seance, I tried not to take the same licenses that Spielberg did. But indeed, there were certain Nazis who were fascinated with the occult. Hitler, to a much lesser degree than some of his comrades, but Goebbels, Goering, were intrigued with the occult. They did go to seances. They were interested in astrology. Goebbels also believed in something called the hollow earth theory, which is one of the more lunatic concepts I've heard of recently. Basically, it postulates that we are living on the inside surface of a giant sphere. All our continents are the inside of this sphere, and also within this sphere, within this hollow earth, is the the entire universe. All the planets, all the stars, all the moon, within this sphere. So they subscribed, obviously, to a lot of destructive racial ideas, but to the belief that astrology could guide them to the fringe concept that we're all within this big, big, big sphere. I think the Nazis, who believed in the hollow earth theory, also thought that once they control this planet, Earth, they would also then be able to control the entire universe, because that universe is enclosed within the sphere that we know of as Earth.
Just part of the crazy thinking that was going on in Nazi Germany at that time. My guest is Arthur Majida, and we're talking about his book, The Nazi Seance. So for all of his supposed clairvoyance, how did Honnesen fail to see the threat that the Nazis posed to European Jews? Because he hobnobbed with the leaders. You know, he saw what they saw. He heard what they heard. They knew that he was Jewish. He knew that these leaders were susceptible to superstition and persuasion. Why couldn't he have foretold what was going to happen?
Because he was a fake in one sentence.
Oh, okay.
Because he was a complete fake. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, here he is, theater to theater to theater. He's performing throughout Europe. He's wowing crowds. He has great fans. He has a newspaper in Germany with a circulation of almost a million, full of all kinds of predictions. He could predict everything, it seemed, but his own destiny. He was so foolish that in early 1933, shortly after Hitler is declared chancellor, Honnesten tells a very high-level captain in the stormtroopers, Adolf looks more like an unemployed hairdresser than a Caesar. You know, anybody in their right mind, anybody who had any sense of what was happening in Germany, which had just become a domain of the Nazis, would have known you do not say to someone else who's wearing a brown shirt to another Nazi that the new Führer looks like an unemployed hairdresser.
Not a good career move, yeah. Not at
no,
all.
No.
So how did Honnesten die?
Oh, he had a tragic ending, and that was in late March 1933. As I said, you know, he had been loaning money to Heldorf, the head of the stormtroopers in Berlin, been loaning money to lots and lots of other powerful Nazis. The Nazis began to get very, very, very scared that Honnesten would use his IOUs to blackmail them. In fact, he was even overheard speaking in a cafe in Berlin, bragging that he had, you know, a safe full of IOUs and he had some of these Nazis in his vest pocket and he could control them. Also, the previous month, he had held a seance, which is why I call the book The Nazi Seance, in which he predicted that the next night there would be a major fire in the city of Berlin. It would change German history, it would change German destiny, and indeed, 24 hours later, the Reichstag, the parliament building, caught on fire. He had probably heard about that from Heldorf, the head of the stormtroopers. They couldn't trust him with a secret. He had a big mouth. They didn't trust him anymore with all those IOUs. Stormtroopers came to his apartment March 24th, 1933. They demanded these IOUs. Honnesten is terrified. He handed them over. They take him down the steps of his apartment building. They throw him into their car, take him to a small stormtrooper prison where I visited, my first visit to Germany. They pumped three bullets into him, two in the head, one near the heart. Take his body into the trunk of their car, drive about an hour south of Berlin, dump him into the woods.
Oh, what a tragic end.
That was the end of Erich Jan Honnesten.
My guest is Arthur Majida. We're talking about his book, The Nazi Seance. Arthur, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Nazi Seance?
Yeah, thank you. I would like them to understand that it is enormously difficult to understand the present, any present. I mean, we can look backwards in history. We can be clairvoyantly backwards. That's easy to do. But it's really hard to know what we can and or should do in any given moment of history. And we all make decisions throughout our day. And it's often hard to get through the day. But to, you know, but to see these people, Honnesten, in Germany, it's so tempting to say, what a fool this man was. In fact, in the book I say he's a ridiculously naive Jew. True. But all of us, I think, in some ways are also, or have the capacity to be ridiculously naive. And I think it's also important for people to understand the delusions that not just somebody like Honnesten had in those early years in the 30s about what the Nazis intended to do, but the delusions and the misconceptions that so many other people did in Germany, people who were Jewish, people who were at the American Embassy in Berlin were sending cables back to Washington saying that, oh, Mr. Hitler has abandoned his anti-Semitism. It's really a shame that that somebody like Hitler, somebody like the Nazis, who were so blatant in their intentions, were also pivotal moments for so many other people's lives, and they used them as opportunities to advance themselves.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Arthur. My guest has been Arthur Majida, author of the book, The Nazi Seance. Arthur, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill. That was fun.
Thank you.